Well, let us once more turn to our Bibles. And I'm going to consider this morning that particular verse, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. It's on page 573 in the Church Bible, but it's there on the screen for you to look at. As we come this morning, I thought I would have a break from Luke chapter 11 and just think on this verse and think on the Lord. So Proverbs 16 verse 33 reads, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." Now I wonder how you react when things go wrong. It depends what it is, you might say. Some things are bigger than others, aren't they? Well, imagine you're in a traffic jam. You miss your train because of a traffic jam. You therefore miss your appointment, perhaps a very important appointment, an interview or a medical appointment, because of it. They can't rearrange it for a long time, or you lose the opportunity. Now you might think, well, in the scheme of things, that's fairly minor, but very frustrating, isn't it, when things like that happen? How does the non-Christian react? Well, they may swear or shout or get angry or something like that. Sometimes they do that on something far less than I've mentioned there. It's very easy to overreact to something that is trivial. But some things are more serious. Some things are uncertain. Well, you know where I'm going. We have this pandemic, don't we, this coronavirus, and people worry. It's now been labelled a pandemic. There is fear or worry or uncertainty. How will it affect me, my family, my plans? Some people will panic. We've seen panic buying, haven't we? All sorts of things. You can no longer get certain things because they've all been bought, or you can get them on the internet at an extortionate price. So what should we do? Well, we can easily misread the advice, and we want to ultimately trust God, shouldn't we? It's important that we take notice of the advice and make sure we understand it fully rather than react to some dramatic headline. And remember, as Christians, that God is in control. There's a poem, a little song that was said years ago. It's this. "Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me." And yes, he cares even for the birds, doesn't he? That's what we're told in the Bible. Well, how much more then does God care about you and I? And if you know God, if you have a heavenly father, we must trust him. That's the message, isn't it, this morning? The lot, so the uncertainty, as it were, is cast into the lap, we don't know, but it's every decision is from the Lord. And if you are a Christian, you know that God is in control. Every decision is from him. People might call it chance, but the Bible tells us God is sovereign. And you can take comfort from God's word, we read in Romans. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful blessing. So there is uncertainty around, and there is unknown things. But remember, God is in control. Your life, all of our lives, is in his hands. So you could respond in fear or in faith. Now, they're not direct opposites, but many people only respond in fear. They have no God to turn to. They don't know the living God who is over all things, who's sovereign, who has prepared for all who believe in him a place in heaven, and the wonderful blessings that he gives. So they respond in fear. They don't pray. Or if they do, they don't really know God, the God they're praying to. So let us respond in faith. If we read Hebrews 11... and thought of all those men and women who had much bigger issues than the pandemic that's been announced and much greater burdens, and yet how did they act? They acted in faith, trusting God. That's the message for you and I. We need to respond wisely to all things, but live by faith. God is in control. His promises are certain and sure. And I'm going to think of three main headings. The first one is good and bad things happen. So if children you're following, good and bad things happen. Some people might say, well, why can't only good things happen? Why does there have to be disease and illness and famine and knife crime and all sorts of different types of crime and suffering, whatever the sorts? Well, if you know your Bible, you know the answer. We know that there is sin in our world. We read it, Genesis 3, about the fall of mankind. Adam and Eve were in the garden, everything was perfect and good. No weeds, no illness, no death. But they chose to ignore God in their pride and in their rebellion. They wanted to do better and thought they knew better than God. And they fell into sin. And so, as a result of that, we live in a sinful world. God carried out what he said he would do. There were consequences. Disease came, illness came, death came. Fellowship with God was broken. Work became hard. The ground did have weeds. So there was bad things as well as good things. That is our world. People choose those things. Men and women, young and old, are still rebelling against God. We have crime. We are not surprised. We live in a fallen world. But God isn't mocked. He says, whatever a man or woman sows, that shall he also reap. The Bible says the wages of sin, the consequence of sin, is death. So good things happen and bad things happen. But do remember, but one day Jesus said that he will come again. There will be new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells, where there will be no disease and pain and death. Remember that. And remember the second part of that verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? God's gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So don't invest, as Jesus said in that Matthew 6, everything into the here and now. Seek not the treasures on earth. Remember, if you love the Lord, if you're trusting him, heaven is prepared for you, a place far better and greater. And it's the gift of God. Have you received that wonderful gift from God? Are you trusting Jesus Christ, who is that gift, who is indescribable, he's so great? Are you trusting him? Because if you are, keep trusting him. You're safe for eternity, and the worries of life will not be completely removed, but you'll be able to put them into context. God is in control. God knows all things. I am trusting him. And you know that your eternal blessing is removed because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what about this proverb then? This proverb which we read, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. It's a wise saying. Solomon, we believe, wrote these proverbs. We thought some months ago about some of them. It's godly wisdom. So it's the wisdom of God for us. Now, in Old Testament times, they used lots, a bit like a dice, to determine certain things. And depending on which way the lot fell, they would make a decision. And in the Old Testament, not in the New, so I don't think we should continue to do it, and we shouldn't therefore be depending on things like chance or luck anymore. We have the greater revelation of the New. But in the Old Testament, God would overrule sometimes these lots that were cast. So I'm just going to read a verse in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 30. Exodus 28 and verse 30, we read this. And you shall put in the breastplate of a high priest of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. So these Urim and Thummim, now we don't fully know all about them. They mean light and perfections. Their two words begin with the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Bible doesn't tell precisely how they functioned. They may have been stones of different colours, but they were used to receive the word of wisdom from God. So on certain matters. So the lot was cast, and God gave the answer. God gave his decision. So an example of that, when Israel entered the promised land, how was the land to be divided between the various tribes? The high priest Eleazar had the Urim and Thummim and was present for the lot to reveal God's will and decision. So they split Canaan on the basis of that. The lot was used, but who ultimately decided? It was God. And that's what this verse is telling us. God did. And the division was made on God's basis on the way that many years before Jacob had prophesied. So God's was the one who decided. God was working through providence. Now I mentioned to the children about Jonah. Before they threw Jonah out of the boat, they threw their lots and it fell on Jonah. Who was in control of that? It was God in control. Now, they didn't want to throw him overboard, but eventually they did, and I mentioned what happened. But they cast these lots. But the overruling providence was from God. And those seamen knew it, didn't they? When that sea was calm, they knew. Well, God was in control. It was not an accident. God was at work in Jonah's life, and Jonah had to go to Nineveh and preach. And when he did, there was a great revival. Many turned to the Lord, praise God. So it was God's timing and God's plan. So what are the principles? Good and bad things do happen. God is sovereign over the affairs of our world. In his providence, he is working things out in our world. Why do bad things happen? Well, generally because of sin. We have a sinful heart. We live in a fallen world. We have resources for everybody, but because of greed, because of sin, we mess things up in many, many different ways in our world, don't we? God isn't the author of sin, but we live in a world where sin is evident. In individual matters, sometimes we ask ourselves questions. We've been thinking of Job Sunday evenings. And his friends thought they knew the answer. Job, you must be particularly wicked. They were wrong, the book tells us. But God can bring different circumstances, different events, different providences into your life for a reason, partly perhaps to strengthen your faith, to make you rely on him more. It may be because we've sinned and we need to repent. It wasn't in Job's case. Maybe that God wants you to do something different to what you had planned. But God is in control. God may be testing your faith. God may have a better way than you thought. And Job could say to his wife, shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? The answer is we have both. And so good and bad things happen. Second main point I want to put there is how do we react when good and bad things happen? How do we react? Well, we're human. And being human, we have a sinful nature. And that means we worry sometimes. Now, if you're a Christian, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Wonderful blessing. Holy Spirit, he reigns in your heart. But you still worry. We worry. We still have an old nature. Some worry more than others. I've been to meetings where we were learning various things, and the overall conclusion was a very positive one. But someone has come out of a meeting and missed that conclusion and focused on something which was perhaps very negative, and that's what they've grasped. And they won't accept the conclusion which was announced, because people are like that. They worry. People see different things. You go and hear the same speech and people take different things from it, don't they? What did Jesus say about worry? We read some verses in Matthew chapter 6, didn't we? He said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your clothes and your food and where they may come from. And he concludes, don't worry about tomorrow. Why not? Surely we should be worrying about these things. Well, verse 32 says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So God, your heavenly Father, think of that poem, The Sparrow and the Robin, God knows. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So remember that. And so what should you do? Well, the next verse tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. So seek God first. Perhaps there's something in your life causing you to worry. What can I suggest to you? Pray about it. But is God first in everything? Are you truly putting God first, seeking him first? Because that's what he calls you to do. And then all these things will be added to you. So, whatever the worry may be about how will this virus spread, whatever the worry, put God first. And if you're not a believer, if you're not sure if you're a believer, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour. You need to consider the great truths which the Bible alone speaks to, not just time, but eternity. And one day all of us will be ushered into eternity. And God has prepared heaven for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and hell for those who reject him. That's more important, to be ready for eternity. That puts life and the worries of life into context, because there is eternal life before you if you're trusting Christ, or eternal punishment. So let us remember that. Put our worries into the context of the Bible, into what Jesus teaches, but into the context of eternity. God is over all. And if you're a believer, seek to live for God's glory. I touched on it last week. As things worry us, well, seek to live close to God. Notice in Proverbs 16, a couple of verses before, verse 31. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. So if you're honouring God, if you're living for his glory, if you're obeying him, seeking to do what is right, that's a testimony to God. It's a crown of glory. So an exhortation to you, don't worry, but live your life for the glory of God. And then we have verse 32. So the next proverb, the one before the one we're looking at. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So take hold of yourself. Don't get angry. Rule your spirit. So have self-control, those things. If you do, you're better than those, the proverb's telling us, that claim to be mighty and claim to be important. If you're slow at getting angry or taking offence, that's a good thing, because you'll bring much more balanced judgment in a crisis than those who are quick to anger. So we can learn a lot, can't we, from these proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, perhaps one of the most well-known. But trust in the Lord, that's the most important. With all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So, don't worry, but put God's word into practice. Trust in the Lord, not your own understanding. Acknowledge him, put him first in your life. Also prayer. Prayer, when we were thinking particularly about prayer last week, about ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. But you can pray. You can pray in your worries, but don't just pray in your worries. Praise God. Think of all the many blessings God has given to you. Confess your sin. So we pray, and we can pray that God will provide in these concerns that you and I have. And if you're praying, it means you're not relying on yourself. It means you acknowledge that you need God's help. You need God to intervene. You want God, as we thought last week, to do his will. Your will be done, as we have in the Lord's Prayer. You don't want what you want. You want God's will. So pray. So we need to rest in the providence of God. Take notice of his word, his promises, and we need to pray. In a moment, a bit later, I'll mention a couple of other things we need to do as well. So how do we react when good and bad things happen? Let's just think, what about when good things happen? Good things happen. When things go well, when things are successful, when plans you do materialise, when you think, well, that's rather good, or perhaps you think, well, I'm rather good, I'm rather successful, you might think that. Well, what might happen to someone when good things happen? They might become self-sufficient. They might then push God to one side or neglect prayer or Bible reading. They might think these various matters. Now, I've been reading myself in Deuteronomy. And there are instructions to the children of Israel. They're about to enter the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And there are words there from God just warning them. Because it's a land flowing with milk and honey. So there's words like, beware, take heed. What are they to beware of? Let me just read some verses in Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 11. We read this, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all the things that you have are multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, notice, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, which is the house of bondage. So when you're successful, when your crops and your land multiplies, when you get more money, there's danger, aren't there? So, yes, when good things happen, there's danger. Sometimes God brings difficulties in our life to bring us back to him, to help us to pray to him. Think of that rich farmer who was successful in the New Testament. Jesus told a parable. What did he do? Well, he said to himself, take it easy, eat, drink, and please yourself, make merry. It was all about what he wanted to do for himself. Well, we need to be aware, don't we? God can bring the good and the bad things, all for his glory, all in his purposes, but for your glory as well. So how should we react? Well, turn to God's word, live for his glory, pray, be much in prayer. I mentioned about special prayer. Pray for God to be merciful to our nation. Pray for God to use his word to speak to people at this time who have largely ignored him and gone their own way. Thirdly, third of 3 points, put there, God is in control of the good and bad things that happen. So God is in control of these good and bad things. Read this verse again. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Now, one of the worries, if you read the media and things about this coronavirus, is that people have lost control. Governments have lost control. Businesses, they might be out of business. If the airlines go bust, the travel agents go bust, the hotels go bust, the suppliers go bust, and the chain down the line of suppliers go bust. People are worried. They've lost control. They thought everything was fine. We can borrow more money. We can do what we like. We're in control. But control's gone on an individual basis. Well, I've planned that event. I've planned that holiday. Well, it might get cancelled. We might be in shutdown. People have lost control. And that's adding to all of these fears. You and I know, the Bible says, God is in control. It's every decision is from the Lord. So ultimately, God is in control. Now, this is hard for people, isn't it? Because some aren't active humanists, but humanism says, well, I'm in control. I'll make the decision. I can do what I like. I can do what I want. I'm in control of my destiny. Well, the Bible says, no, you're not. We do not know what a day nor an hour may bring forth. Our life is but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. And then we must stand before the judgment seat of God. So God is in control. Vital to understand that. Every decision is from the Lord. He is in providential control of our world. Now, I've got a little list here. If you're following children, I ask you the question. I think, what is God in control of? Well, let me mention some things. He's in control of the universe, of the physical world, the affairs of nations. He's over your birth, the time of your birth and your life. He's over the outward success and failures of your life. He answers prayer. He's in control of those things. He protects the godly. He punishes the wicked. He supplies the needs. And in seemingly accidental things, he is in control. He's the God of providence. Graham was doing some Bible studies on Esther. Was the rise of Queen Esther an accident? No, it was God's purpose. The Jews were to be delivered. God's hand was in it. People speak of chance. Was it a chance that King Ahasuerus couldn't sleep one night? That's small, that's trivial. No, God was in control. And he used those events to turn everything around so that Haman was hung on his own gallows. God was in control. So, coronavirus 2020, remember that God is in control. There may be hype and worries and panic, and it's right to take good measures in their time, but not before their time. We should listen to good advice. But we should take precautions, and we would want to pray and protect the vulnerable. But remember, God is in control of the future. He's in control of the nations. God may have a greater purpose that no one in the secular media has even thought of, because they don't acknowledge God. And they've turned far from him. Why do such things happen? Ultimately, God, who is sovereign, knows all things. You and I do not. We do know, and I did speak on this some months ago, Proverbs again, righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. Trouble comes because of sin. God is in control of all things, and even the actions of those who are sinning against God are part of God's purposes. Yes, even the actions of those who are sinning against God are part of God's purposes. God isn't the author of sin. We mustn't blame him. But God is in control. So think of our world today. A muddled world. Certain things are reported, but persecuted Christians, or we could ignore that. Thousands die every year, but we won't report that. That's not important to us. And people, things like that. But think more than that. Think of our world, our morals. Think of the laws on abortion. A child is aborted every few seconds in our world. Think of the changed laws on marriage. Think of on euthanasia, no valuing of life. On gender ideology, the so-called pride movement, which is just that, proud, promoting itself. But think of all these things, and they're promoted at international level. The United Nations is actively promoting these things. There's been some pushback, but not much. And these ideas then gets pushed through to universities and the education system. Well, we live in a sinful world. God isn't mocked, is he? There are consequences for sin. We live in a world where evil is called good, the Bible says, and good is called evil. And sin isn't even recognized as an idea. It's just what you want to do and I want to do. There's no sin. So there is a moral chasm, isn't there? We have songs which promote all sorts of things which are completely and utterly ungodly. And sometimes breaking the Ten Commandments is even condoned, and it's even glorified, let alone condemned. Because, oh, what does it matter? And so we live in that world. We live in a world of corruption, where there's money and big money. Doesn't matter whose money it is, but whether it's a world of sport or big business or small business, where there's money, there's corruption. That is our world, isn't it? And sadly, we live in it. It doesn't surprise us. I mentioned earlier the Garden of Eden. What has happened? The human heart is sinful. Jeremiah said, the human heart is sinful and desperately wicked. So humans are capable of good, but by nature we are sinful. That's why the Bible has a message that says we need a new heart. You need to be born again. Sin isn't new. Think of Noah's time. What did God do? He brought judgment. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. What did God do? He brought judgment. Is this virus God's judgment? Well, we need to be very careful before we attribute something specific to God's judgment. But let us be clear. God hates sin. God is holy. All the things I've mentioned, whether it's the corruption, the moral downgrade, the ignoring of sin, God hates those things. He must do because he's holy and just. And so, God can use these things, can't he? There are consequences for sin. And ultimately we know if sin is not repented of, that's in a personal basis, if you do not repent of your sin, if you do not trust in Jesus as Saviour, you face God's wrath and eternal punishment. Now, God brings judgment in different ways. He can bring in an instant something, and this virus has come up, which no one knew the strain of. And often, God works in judgment, Romans 1, by leaving people to themselves. And we've made a mess of our world, haven't we? We think we're rather good. We think we're in control. But God is in control. And so Romans 1 warns us of the consequences. If God leaves us, God leaves us. We make a very big mess of everything. And for the most part, many have left God. But God is in control. Be thankful for that. He's in control of everything. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked. And if any men staying for the men's meeting would like a copy of an article, I will do that for you. But just think about climate change. Will human activity bring down the downfall of our planet? No, because God is in control. And God has promised the Noah covenant in Romans 8 that while the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter. Now, that doesn't mean to say we should seek to be good stewards. We should not seek to pollute our world. And if we do, we'll reap the consequences. But ultimately, God is in control. He will decide when the planet will come to an end. He will send the Lord Jesus in his time. No one knows the day nor the hour. So we need to be careful. We don't get caught up with some of these things. God is in control of all things. And the most important thing for you is to focus on Jesus Christ as your Saviour and trust and put your hope in him, not in man-made solutions. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. And it is right that we pray. It is good that America calls to prayer. Where are the leaders in our country? We should be praying for God to be merciful. And that includes repenting of our sin, which of course is the reason why some will not call to prayer, because they don't want to face up to what that means. We need to turn from our sin and plead that God will be merciful to us as a result of our sin. Well, let me conclude. God is in control of all things. I said there was two more things. How do we react? Two more things that we need to do. Things which you will hear me say regularly, but it's so important, isn't it? As we think about sin and the consequences, we need to repent. We need to turn aside from our sin. And it's easy to think, well, other people, yes, as a nation, we need to repent. But what about your sin? You've sinned against Almighty God. I've sinned. We need to confess our sins to God personally. Not just saying sorry, but if we mean it, putting sin behind us. And the wonderful blessing, what encouragements there are in the Bible. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and trust in him, he will receive you. That's the blessing. Salvation he gives freely. And so the second thing doesn't surprise you. It's faith or trust in God. What do we need to do? Repent of sin and keep trusting God. If God is in control, trust him. If Jesus Christ is the only Saviour, which he is, turn to him and trust in him alone. Trust him for salvation, but for the needs, for the worries, trust him. For the worries about the future. Genuine worries, we understand that, but remember, our times are in God's hands, and commit everything, including all the worries about this coronavirus, everything into God's hand. Trust him for your life and for your future. How important those two things are. We are to repent of our sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to conclude by reading a verse. I mentioned it last week, but it's important, isn't it? As we think about these things, as we worry about these things, remember God is in control. And what should you do? It says here, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. One day Jesus is coming again and it will be too late. One day our age will end and it will be too late. Today is the time to turn from your sin and repent and seek the Lord. And the promise is that if you call upon him, if you seek him, he will be found. What wonderful promises there are. The greatest of all promises, in Christ there is salvation. Well, may God bless his word. May we be able to rest in him and have faith and not fear, because we're trusting God, a God who is in control. Amen.